name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. To many outside the church, and perhaps even to many of you inside the church, the commandments of God are simply a list of things you shall not do. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. But Luther, in the Small Catechism, rightly teaches you that that's not the way you are to perceive the commandments. Yes, they certainly command what you are not to do, but they also remind you of what you are to do. And so, we are reminded that in the commandments we learn such things as this: but call upon it, that is the name of God, in every trouble. Pray, praise, and give thanks. That we are to hear the preaching of the word of God and hold it sacred. That we are to honor, serve, and obey our parents and masters. That we are to help and befriend our neighbor in every bodily need. We are told that we are to help our neighbor improve and protect his property and business. That we are to speak well of him and put the best construction on everything. And yes, even when it comes to just the thoughts of coveting our neighbor's stuff, we are told we are to help and be of service to him in keeping it. Yes, indeed, the commandments tell you how you are to live as the children of God. So as you listen to the Old Testament reading appointed for today in Leviticus, you are all rejoicing that that's a good thing that's in the Old Testament, because that's part of the civil or ceremonial law, and I know as a Christian, I'm not bound to those things. And you're correct. But the commandment that God gives there, for example, in the book of Leviticus today, does remind you again of why God has given you these commandments. First and foremost, they are for your benefit. That is, so that you might live in communion with your God in a God-pleasing way. But they are also for your neighbor's benefit. So, for example, in the book of Leviticus, as these people of God who had been brought out of slavery in Egypt and been brought into the promised land, this is what they are told about how they are to farm in this land of promise to which they are going. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap the field right to its edge. Neither shall you gather up the gleanings after your harvest. Similarly, for those growing grapes, you shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. God reminds the people that all of these things that they are receiving are blessings from God, and that they must, according to the commandments, leave the edges of the field unharvested to make it easy for the poor and the widows and even the travelers through this promised land who were not Jews to be able to gather wheat so that they might be able to eat. Similarly, with the grapes, they were allowed only to pass through the field one time. Any grapes that they missed on their first pass must be left there. And the grapes that had fallen on the ground, they were not allowed to pick up. Again, so that the widow, the poor, and the sojourner might be able to gather up those grapes, not only eat, but also to make wine. This is just one small example of how God's commandments given to God's people are for the benefit of their neighbor and the relationship that God's people have with their neighbors. But again, now you're saying to yourself, well, I certainly couldn't farm that way today. Imagine a farmer being told to leave a portion of his field there every year even though it's perfectly good and perfectly capable of being gathered into his barn to be sold. It seems awfully strange. And in fact, they are. For this is the way God's people have been called to live in this world. As strangers and aliens. God has called you to such a high calling that the way that you live is not, in the words of Jesus, simply to be on par or equal to, or maybe just a little bit better than the ways of those who do not believe in God. As Jesus reminds you in today's gospel, what good is that? That brings us to today's teaching of Jesus in today's gospel. If you think that leaving a portion of your field would be hard, or leaving the grapes on the vine or on the ground ungathered, imagine your reaction to these words of Jesus. I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil to you. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other as well. If anyone would sue you for your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. For those of you not familiar with that, that's the inner or the outer garment, and then the inner garment that would have been worn. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. As if Jesus hadn't given you enough to think about how you live your life as a child of God, Jesus goes even further. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He reminds you as he speaks to you so that you may be and continue to be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Jesus finishes this portion of his teaching by again reminding you of the high calling that you have as the children of God. His final sentence, though, is the most startling. Jesus said, in quite similar fashion to what you heard in the reading from the book of Leviticus, Jesus said, you, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. These are hard words to hear, aren't they? As you contemplate your life according to the commandments, even just looking at the negative sides of those commandments, those things that you have been commanded not to do, are you not filled with shame? In the terms of your thoughts, your words, and your deeds, as you are reminded of all the things that you do, that God has clearly forbidden you in his word. And yes, that applies to you as New Testament believers. And then, as if that wasn't bad enough, Jesus now calls you to examine your life in the areas of the things that he has commanded you to do that you have failed to do. And why have you failed to do them? Because on the one hand, you rationalize them away. You think, well, God didn't really mean this, or God didn't really mean that. Did he really say that I should turn the other cheek? That if somebody wants to take from me one piece of clothing, I should give to them the other as well? Did Jesus really mean that I not only have to not just sort of tolerate those who oppose me, but to be good to them, to pray for them? Yes, he did. And that's what it means to be holy and perfect as your heavenly Father is. These words are a heavy burden, And if you are not feeling that burden, then you are not listening to Jesus. For these are the demands that God places upon those who would call themselves the children of God and heirs of everlasting life. And it is a burden, because it is the law. But let me take you back to the beginning of this sermon that you have been listening to of Jesus, that now goes on 4 weeks from the Gospel of St. Matthew. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And you remember how it began? Blessed are. And as you listen to the Beatitudes, those descriptions at the beginning of this sermon serve to remind you that you sort of recognize the one who is being described in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn. And as I reminded you then, so I remind you again today. Those words of Jesus perfectly describe him. He is the one who is all of those things. And as I told you then, so I tell you again today. In Christ, baptized into his death and resurrection, you share in all of those blessings now, and you have been promised those blessings that are yet to come as part of eternal life. So once again, I say to you today, as you listen to Jesus as he teaches in these commandments, as you first compare those commandments to your life and feel shame and feel the weight and burden of the guilt that comes from not keeping God's commandments perfectly as he has commanded you, you must do. Think of another. Think of Jesus. For do you not also hear or see Jesus being described in his own words? I say, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other as well. And you contemplate how Jesus lived his life. How many times, not just in physical attacks, but in attacks of words, Jesus stood in opposition to those who accused him of being a devil, of teaching falsely, of being a hypocrite. And Jesus, in his kindness, continued to show love even to them. As you hear Jesus talk of clothing and says, if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And you consider how Jesus stood before Pilate and the Roman soldiers stripped him of his clothing, put a purple robe on him and a crown of thorns on his head and mocked him and spit upon him. And how as he went out to the cross there, as they stripped him of his outer garment, they also took his inner garment. You may remember how they tore the one into pieces to give to each of the guards, but they cast lots for the one that was without seams. And as you hear Jesus talk about being forced to walk 1 mile, you go with him the second. And you recall how your Savior Jesus, led as a criminal, carried his own cross out to Calvary, and there, bearing that cross upon which he would be crucified for the sins of the whole world. Indeed, the commandments that God has set before you as the children of God, those things which he commands you that you must not do, and the commandments that he tells you you must do, dear child of God, Christ has done all of those things for you. He has done them well. And yes, he has done them perfectly. May I remind you that Jesus did not simply bring to you salvation by dying for you at the cross, but also by his holy and perfect life fulfilled each and every demand that the law can ever place upon you. And through holy baptism, you have received not only the forgiveness of all of your failings, but you have received the holy and perfect life of Christ. You live in communion with him because he is holy. In communion with him, you also are holy and perfect. And yet those commandments still rebuke you daily. You are still called to strive to live as a child of God in holiness, in righteousness, and purity now and forevermore. Your conscience is burdened. You have been reminded that you are a child of God because of your baptism into Christ. And yet you have not lived as a child of Christ. And so the Lord, in his mercy, comes to you to strengthen you. To strengthen you with the promise of sins forgiven. And to strengthen you with the newness of life that is yours in Christ and through Christ alone. And it is that which you receive now as you come to the altar to receive Christ's body and blood. He promises you, yes, with these gifts, your sins are forgiven. But with these gifts of Christ's body and blood, he also tells you, I abide in you and you abide in me. This, dear child of God, is holy communion between you, God's people, and God himself. And it is this communion that allows you to live with one another in peace and communion, and also to manifest this peace and this love towards the world in which you live, loving your neighbor as yourself. And indeed, because of the love of Christ, you may know truly that as Jesus speaks, these words are fulfilled. You must be perfect as your heavenly Father indeed is perfect. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.